Greetings, everyone, from wherever you are listening to in this great big wide world here on the World Wide Web. It's time for the last three guys to do a podcast. Our 12th episode coming to you. I'm John Morgan, along with
Leon Brown
and
Daniel Boatson.
And we are all here today. Daniel has finished moving, and I want to congratulate Daniel on being a proud homeowner.
Thank you, man. Thanks,
guys. I'm sure it was a very tough move for you these last few weeks.
Yeah, man, and we were still moving, even today. Even I actually came from the house, came up here with you guys, and I'm just glad to see you guys, man. It's been a while, so.
Yeah, it's not the same without you here with us.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about here again, NFL, college football. We're going to have a guest. Sam Crenshaw should be calling in to us momentarily, and when he does, we'll be sure to get him on the air, get his take on what's going on. We talked to him once before. A lot of stuff happening, both with college, both with NFL, even prep high school football. Sam knows a lot about everything, and there is some controversy with the prep high school situation. It's supposed to be this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at Mercedes-Benz, but it got bumped to midweek because the Atlanta United is going to be hosting the MLS Cup against the Portland Timbers, and we're going to talk about that as well. And of course, it's interesting because the fans of the teams, it's going to be a lot harder for them to come to Atlanta on a Tuesday and a Wednesday to watch their squad than it would normally be. And again, a lot of things are just changing around, but again, that is for later. We'll be sure to talk about it. Right now, we want to talk about college football. That's where we're going to start our focus. The college football playoffs have been announced. Georgia did not get in, even though they did put up a big fight against Alabama, but lost again. You know, guys, I saw an interesting stat that in terms of the plays in the last two games between Georgia and Alabama, Alabama has been ahead for only maybe 5% of those plays, yep. And they won both games.
And they won both games. And that was probably the game of the day yesterday. When you take a look at it, Alabama just became Alabama. And it seemed like it was deja vu all over again. If you recall last year's national championship game, it was Jalen Hurts that started. Jalen was struggling. Here comes Tua Tagovailoa to bail him out, win the national championship. This year, Tagovailoa gets banged up in the game, and in comes Jalen Hurts. What kind of story is this, man? You know, for him to make this miraculous comeback and come from behind victory, and he comes in and he puts the Superman chest on, he saves the day for the Crimson Tide and obviously puts them at the number one seed, because I think if they would have lost this game, they still would have made the playoffs.
Oh, there's no question. No, Georgia would have gotten in.
Georgia would have gotten in.
Exactly.
Georgia would have gotten in. So, I mean, that's where I am with it. Of course, we'll talk about the top four in a few minutes. But I thought that was one of the better SEC championship games I had seen.
Oh, there's no question. And, again, it's kind of the reverse of the Clemson situation where Kelly Bryant starts, Trevor Lawrence comes in, Kelly Bryant transfers.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts stays with the program, and he's getting a lot of credit from people for saying, you know what, you stuck with things, you didn't transfer when things got rough, and it's kind of like a backhanded slap at Kelly Bryant. And I want to ask you guys, is that deserved? Does Kelly Bryant deserve that backhanded slap?
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does. I don't know if I can get into it a lot. But
right.
I don't think he deserves that. Not one bit. What you think?
I think we're going to see the same situation in Georgia next year, though.
You do?
To a certain degree. For example, I mean, Jake Fromm, he did do a pretty good job at 25 for 39 with 300 yards against Alabama, and they put up a really good fight. But you have this hot shot of a youngster coming in Justin Fields. I mean, how long will he be willing to wait? And especially with, you know, unfortunately with Georgia not being able to deliver the SEC championship, with the playoff berth eluding them, mm-hmm. You know, if you're Georgia, do you stick with Jake Fromm? Or do you go ahead and do you start grooming the youngster for success for the future?
Well, again, this goes into what we've discussed earlier with terms of fan expectations. Fans want two things. Every time their offense gets the ball, they want a touchdown. Every time their defense is on the field, they want a three and out.
Right.
That's kind of what they want. And it's very unrealistic. So they're just sitting there saying, why can't we get a touchdown every time we have the ball? And what quarterback will give us that that outcome. And like I said, it's a very interesting situation. I think Justin Fields needs to find out if Jake Fromm is going to go pro after his junior year, which is next year. If he says he is, then maybe he sticks around. And also, it also depends on where Georgia's going to put Justin in the lineup. They're going to use him as wide receiver. They're going to use him as a running back. They're going to use him as a change of pace quarterback. And Georgia's going to go through another interesting change because Mel Tucker is leaving to become Colorado head coach. He's their defensive coordinator. So Georgia's going to bring in a new defensive coordinator. And that's going to switch things up a little bit. It's a very fluid situation. I think Justin's going to stick around next year because I think he wants to learn the offense a little more and be groomed. And, you know, you really do need that insurance policy in case, heaven forbid, Jake Fromm gets injured in their first game.
And, you know, I want to go back to – we was talking about Justin Fields. I actually want to go back to last night's game because I really thought that was – that those last minutes, that fourth quarter, I think that was all on Kirby Smart, especially the fourth down play. John, you probably seen my Facebook post when I said, question. Why would UGA do make a play call like that? Basically, it was fourth down, fourth and 11.
Fourth and 11, they attempt a fake punt.
They attempt a fake punt, and Justin Fields is in the game. So Alabama already knows that this has got something to do with Justin Fields. But that's number one. Number two, they punted at the 48-yard line. So you have to play field position against Alabama. You cannot give a hot hand in Jalen Hurts 50 yards to work. You just cut half the field off for him. So I think I could put last night's victory last night's loss on Kirby Smart. That would be my assessment of it.
So if we're Jalen Hurts, though, and, you know, him being a senior next year, you know, well, you know you're not going to play because, unfortunately, you know, this young man, we're going to Tua. I hate mispronouncing people's names. Can we call
Tonga
him
Tagovailoa?
Can we call him T.T.?
You call him whatever you want.
I will call him Tua. Again, the word of from Nick Saban is that he has a high ankle sprain and he'll be out 2 weeks. Will not affect his availability for that Orange Bowl game against Oklahoma.
Good deal. So let me ask y'all, do you agree with the committee? Do you agree with the top four?
I agree with him.
Okay.
I agree with them. I think Notre Dame should be in. They did go undefeated, and yes, they did not have a conference championship. But the question is, it's still a tough schedule for Notre Dame. They had to play. They played Michigan. I mean, that might be their only, but they had a couple other ranked teams, and it's always hard being Notre Dame because regardless of your standing, you're going to get your opponent's best effort, regardless of where they are. So it's not like teams are taking off. I think going 12-0 with their schedule is very impressive, and that does merit them to get in.
Yeah, I agree. For what the committee has a standard for, I agree with putting Oklahoma in. Of course, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Georgia would have had to go in. But I think the silly thing about it was that there was a possible debate that Notre Dame might have been out. I think that's the most ridiculous debate.
No, the Irish are definitely.
They should have been in, and that should have been a lock. It should have been three teams a lock, and that fourth seed we would have been worried about. Now, according to the standings, they had the debate between Georgia and Oklahoma, and I think I may have had a slight problem with that. Because if we're going to debate this, now you're saying that we're going to debate a two-loss Georgia?
Who lost their conference championship.
I don't care who they played and how they played them. That's what I kept hearing. I kept hearing that we are glorifying losing. That's what I kept hearing. Ohio State should have never been in this conversation. They lost by 25 to a Purdue team that had to beat Indiana to get to a bowl game.
Right.
You know, so, no, I don't want to hear that.
And I don't think the committee wanted to deal with any baggage that Ohio State would bring to them. They would bring a U-Haul truck full of baggage with them, and with the committee didn't want to deal with it.
And I don't think they wanted to did it. And listen, Oklahoma, for lack of a better term, Oklahoma actually, with them coming back and beating a Texas team that beat them
right
earlier in the year, and coming back and avenging that loss in the Big 12 championship and winning the Big 12.
Storyline is tremendous.
So, storyline. Yeah, they basically said, okay, we're in. You know, and I don't think anything else happened. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was kind of hoping something happened. I wanted some chaos, man. I wanted some real chaos. Because what if Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma lose? Because now you have a two-loss Michigan team back there. You still have Central Florida, who won their conference and is unbeaten.
Well, right, and you've heard what I said about Central Florida.
Yeah.
As soon as they beat Alabama's scout team, then they can get in.
But you see, for Central Florida, I'll say this. If they beat LSU in the Peach Bowl, they'll be back in Atlanta. Where
are
they?
No. They are in, I got to look that up, but it's not the Peach Bowl. The Peach Bowl is, let me find it here. Anyway, just keep going with your point. I'll jump in with it when I find it.
If they beat LSU, this will be the second straight year they've beaten an SEC caliber opponent in a bowl game, in a New Year's Six bowl game.
Right.
Auburn was pretty good last year.
True.
In fact, Auburn was in the SEC championship last year.
That's true.
And the only reason why they didn't make it to the college football playoff is because they actually lost three in a row. They went into that Alabama game unbeaten. Mm. And lost to Alabama, lost to Georgia, and then lost to Central Florida.
It's the Fiesta Bowl.
It's the Fiesta Bowl. All right, so they're going. So they're not coming back here.
No, no. It's Florida, Michigan is coming here.
Oh God! So I got to see Florida fans. Oh,
yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, let's go.
Which I don't think they should be in.
That's right. It's a noon start on the 29th. That Saturday. Actually, Daniel, if you do come with me to Tallahassee, you'll skip that.
Why you say that?
Because it's the 29th at noon.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be in Tallahassee. We're leaving the 28th.
Right. Yeah.
So does Clemson. I'm going to predict that Alabama's going to beat Oklahoma.
Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, you know. And I'm saying it's not anything against Alabama, but it's just like for the sake of parity.
Mm-hmm.
Does Clemson have the biggest chance on delivering the much-needed parity to college football and beating Alabama in the championship?
No, because we've already seen this before. We know that for a fact that Clemson and Alabama are probably the two best teams in the country. Now, what would make this more interesting is if Notre Dame and Oklahoma played in the national championship.
Now that would make things that would really make it interesting.
That's how encased, but how do you want it though? That's how encased my mind is though.
Right,
because I cannot imagine. I'm so conditioned to see Alabama and NCAA championship that I couldn't imagine any other team
other than Alabama and somebody else.
So to think about real, it's like to the point where I don't even know what real parity looks like anymore.
Think about it this way. We've seen the college football playoff, this is the fifth year of the college football playoff.
In a decade.
This is the third straight year that Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson have been in the playoffs.
Man.
This is the third straight year.
So we don't even know what parity is.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
We don't even know what that is.
They need to add more teams to this. I mean,
that's why I said. Yeah. You need more parity into this, but they're not going to do it because you're going to lose money.
Exactly.
You're going to lose money with the bowl games. So and listen.
These kids already played 12, 13. Now you're asking them to play a 14th.
A 14th game.
That's another kind of issue that's being thrown around in there.
Let's do it this way. They don't have to play a 13th or 14th game. You can cut all of them cupcake games that they're playing.
Which they're not going to do because those are bye games to make their alumni feel good about themselves.
And to give the little smaller schools a little bit of money.
A little bit of money. So it's a money grab.
It's a money grab. So you can't get rid of them. Because I'm so sick of before rivalry week. The SEC has to play Stetson and Eagles Landing, Christian Academy.
Wait a minute. We did see Vanderbilt Ole Miss that week, and that was a great game. Vanderbilt wins it in overtime.
That was a great game.
Nobody saw.
But yes,
you got Alabama playing the Citadel.
Yeah.
You got Georgia playing UMass.
Come on, man.
Savannah State and stuff.
Yeah.
Shout out to Savannah State for those who listen to us at Savannah State, but I'm saying though.
Savannah State going down to D2. I think next year is when they finish.
Are they going down?
Yeah, they're going down. They're going down.
Now is their college basketball program going down, or are they?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I don't know if they're going to leave the MEAC or not.
MEAC, yeah.
I don't know, but I know their football team's going to D2. And talking about Central Florida, let me rattle off their non-conference schedule for next season. Florida A&M at Florida Atlantic. Now two interesting games here.
Mm-hmm.
Home with Stanford, and at Pitt.
Okay. So basically, what they have to do, they have to go undefeated again.
Right.
Now, they're at Stanford, you said?
Well, they play Stanford in Orlando.
Orlando, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's a home game.
It's pretty much a home game.
It's a home game. Spectrum Stadium, yeah, that's where, yeah. That's where they are, Spectrum Stadium. What was it? Is it the Citrus Bowl? What was the Orlando Bowl?
Yeah, Citrus Bowl.
It was Citrus Bowl? Okay.
Yep, Citrus Bowl. Let me ask you this, John, because I know you're not a favorite of Central Florida. What if next year they rattle off and they go unbeaten again? Well, and they beat Stanford and they beat them bad.
And they go to Pittsburgh and beat them bad.
And they beat them bad.
Well,
would you give them respect then?
Yeah, I would give them respect if they do that.
Okay.
Because, this season, I got to swing it back to this season to see who they played, but whether or not. Let me see because I don't have that off the top of my head. I want to see who they played this season. UConn, South Carolina State, and their game with North Carolina was canceled. Mm-hmm. And then Florida, and then they did play Pitt this season. They beat them 45-14.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And they hosted them.
And a Pitt team that actually went to the ACC Championship. I want to speak on that for a minute. You know, I think with the college football playoff, like I said, I think they got it right. This is probably the first year they got it right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think with the criteria, we always talk about the strength of schedule, but I think we need to start talking about the strength of conference that year. In the case of Clemson,
right,
the ACC was terrible this year.
Yeah, it was Clemson and everybody else.
It was Clemson and Clemson was touching the clouds.
And maybe Syracuse.
Right? But then they humbled Syracuse. Mm-hmm. They beat them. Well, they didn't. That was a pretty close game, right? I think that that's probably going to be a criteria as well. You look at the pack. You look at the Big 12. The Big 12 had explosive offense but terrible defense. I mean,
that's the Big 12.
That's just
since,
the Big 12. Since.
Yeah, that's
how long?
they inherited all those teams from the Southwest Conference.
That's what they did,
and that's what the Southwest was known for.
Yep, straight up offense, no defense
at all.
And in the case of the SEC, because the SEC has kind of become that way. It's really Alabama and Georgia because Mississippi State is pretty good, but we don't know where they are.
LSU has potential, but they never live up to it.
Exactly. Florida is Florida.
Yeah,
you know, you never know. You don't know if Florida can look like a 1-9 team one day and look like a 10-0 team the next day. So you just don't know. Vanderbilt waiting on them to come up, John.
Yes,
waiting on them to come.
Oh, Vanderbilt! You talk about next season.
Uh-huh.
Listen to these three games.
Uh oh.
Hosting Georgia first week of the season. Then they play. Then they go to Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Then they host.
That's a winnable game.
That is a winnable game. But then they host LSU.
Oh,
L.
1-2, 0-3, man.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt's always one of those teams that always loses games they should have won. Like Notre Dame. They should have beat Notre Dame.
They should have beat Notre Dame.
Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina. We had three or four winnable games. And shout out to Vanderbilt because at least they didn't get stuck with the bottom rung SEC bowls. No Liberty Bowl, no Music City Bowl. They're going to the Houston Bowl. Yep. Play Baylor.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the 29th.
That's going to be a very good game.
Yes.
That's going to be a very good game.
Yes. And the number one draft pick in the NFL, Kyle Shurmur, will be there, and that'll be his last game. I say that because it looks like the Giants are going to get a top 10 pick, and his father will probably select him with that pick. So that's why I'm calling him that.
Well, that's what Kyle. That's what impact there.
Well, I think they'll give him. I think they'll give him another year after what has happened to the Giants this season. And speaking of the Giants, again, this is the last week of the NFL. Well. All the byes are going, but the Giants did beat the Bears in overtime today, 30-27.
Mm.
And the Bears, we were talking about this before we went on the air. We thought that the Bears were going to win their division, but you know, if the Bears lost, now the Vikings and they're playing the Patriots. If the Vikings can come back, and from what last I saw, it was pretty close. Yeah, 24-10. Well,
24-10 with 6:30 to go.
Do you think the Bears are going to hang on and fend off the Vikings and win that division?
I think with how inconsistent the Vikings are playing this year with that ridiculous tie they have on their record, which may or may not help them towards the end of the year. I look at the Bears will hold on this year. I mean, of course, my case is almost being thrown out the window with this loss that they suffered to New York. Who thought that was going to happen? But I'm looking at the Bears to hold on and win their division, and we will see I mean, it almost seems kind of weird, Chicago in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Well, I think as soon as they got Khalil Mack, I think we all penciled them into the playoffs. Well,
they changed their fortune.
At least, not as a division winner, then at least as a wild card.
Right. Yeah. It did something to that defense all over again. Man, he's such an impact player. That's why, listen, in my opinion, when you have somebody like that, that's what the term most valuable player means. This guy probably should be the MVP of the National Football League.
I'm guessing.
You know, and that Bears defense is ranked top five, maybe top, I know top 10, but
easily
top five. No, we played the number one defense today in the Baltimore Ravens.
Guys, we got some breaking news just coming in. Packers have announced that Mike McCarthy has been fired, and Joe Philbin is the interim head coach.
Wow.
Man, we're gonna pour out a little liquor for Mike McCarthy. He had a good run.
He did. And
his assistant coach is Kelly Ripa. What? Oh, wrong Philbin.
Wrong Philbin. Hey, Regis.
Wrong Philbin, I'm sorry.
And I bet you he's happy about Notre Dame being, you know, he's a big Notre Dame fan,
yes.
Yeah. And I think he's a famous Notre Dame alum, if I'm not mistaken.
And of course, Green Bay's first game Monday night with the Falcons.
Yeah.
So how is that going to impact what Green Bay wants to do against Atlanta?
It could do a good thing or it could do a bad thing. It all depends on what that locker room is feeling right now. If the locker room is apart as far as the McCarthy firing goes, then there may be some problems. And now Joe Philbin has got to come in. He's got a tough task. He's got to now prepare for Atlanta. Now, listen, Atlanta's offense hasn't been all that great the last couple of weeks. We haven't put up 20 points in 4 weeks. So his defense will have to prepare for that. And of course, it's in Lambeau. You know, the Packers have lost three in a row coming down here.
Right.
So
I got a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Do we laugh at this or we like, aberration, bad luck? Does this, you know, somebody had to take the blame for what happened in the Green Bay this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess politics demanded that be McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know this sounds fantastic and almost blasphemous.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going, and I was about to go there. So.
Oh, okay. You know, going. We got to.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go there.
Does this put Aaron Rodgers on the hot seat?
Oh.
Yeah. You know, I it's getting warmer. I think the Packers really have to consider drafting somebody either in the later rounds, like the 4, 5, 6, 7, to someone they can groom.
Well, the draft class is not, especially not this year. I wouldn't do it this year. Because the draft class, as far as quarterbacks go, is really not that hot,
right.
You know. But, man, that's a bold question, though.
That's a bold statement, isn't it?
Yeah. Because here's a guy who was considered just two years ago, the best quarterback in football. About 3 or 4 years ago, he was considered the best player in football. I think this year, guys, Aaron Rodgers wasn't healthy. And I'm not making any excuses. That guy is not healthy. And I don't know what kind of secrets the Packers organization was hiding or whatever. But I think that, especially after that first game, I think it was the second game where he got hurt.
Right.
And he came back in and it looked like Willis Reed or whatnot. To me, when he hurt himself, it looked like he tore his ACL. Now, if this guy's playing on a torn ACL this year.
Well, if it's a torn ACL, he needs to
Sit down somewhere.
Exactly.
Man. He needs to sit down. I've torn my ACL. That's a serious injury.
Oh, yes. It's at least a year.
At least a year. Yep.
And if the Packers are formally out of the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they'll have to sit down with Aaron Rodgers and get a very frank discussion. And frankly, Aaron Rodgers needs to stop doing the State Farm ads.
Yeah, he does.
That's another thing. Yeah. He needs to quit doing that. I don't care how much money he's making from it.
He needs to focus on
getting healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. If he wants to make that his first gig,
mm-hmm.
then he needs to retire.
Right.
You know, like Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has his
Well, Peyton was able to balance both of them.
But you notice he kind of did his thing. His nationwide commercials and Papa John's commercials and right. all of that stuff. He kind of did that like towards the end of his career. So he started to venture out and say, okay, this is where the moneymaker is.
Basically, you know? If you're not winning, we don't want to see you on anything else other than if you're not winning, yeah. we're going to see you on TV.
We want to see you either in the training room or right. in the practice field.
Or in the practice field.
That's
man.
All we need to see. And right. if it's rehabbing your injury. We don't want to, and I think the Packers are going to have to sit down with Aaron and make that not so much ultimatum, but a strongly worded suggestion.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Because that is a slap in the face to the fan base.
It is.
Like, man.
You're right. And that's a tough fan base to, you know, absolutely, to kind of please, you know.
I mean,
well, they're rabid, they're fanatical, they'll stay with you, but they want to see an effort.
They want to see an effort. Yeah. And it just don't look like that right now.
At all.
From Aaron Rodgers.
Man, and you know, at first, you know, I remember at be times when, you know, the Packers would start off kind of slow.
Yeah.
Then all Aaron Rodgers had to say is relax. And everything's going to be just fine. Was that a
Looks like a score for New England.
Yeah, that was a great play.
Was that a great interception?
It was an interception.
An interception.
Yeah, it was an interception.
It was a great one, too.
The world, we're watching the Patriots and the Vikings as we speak.
Yes. And we're just watching it, seeing what's going on.
I'm watching the instant replay now.
Right now, Tom Brady is on the cusp of making history. With one more touchdown pass will make him the all-time leader of 580 touchdown passes, passing Peyton Manning for the all-time touchdown passing
leader. Now, that's a combination of both regular season and postseason, right?
I believe so.
I think that is.
Yes.
I think that's a stat.
And there's no truth to the rumor that Peyton will come out of retirement to try and get the record back for Denver, you know.
Yeah.
going for Denver's next game, touchdowns to put that get that record out of relief. They are playing San Francisco next week, so they probably could do it.
Yeah.
Against San Francisco, but again, no truth to that rumor.
But
that I just made up.
But back to the Packers, you know, we got to look at Mike McCarthy for 13 seasons.
Yeah.
Has been the Packers head coach and
You haven't done anything since 2011, since your Super Bowl in 2011.
Man, I had to hit him with the Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately?
Losing at home to the Cardinals by 3 points, 20-17.
That was enough.
With a two and nine Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Two and nine coming in.
According to reports, they brought him in after the game and just fired him, and he was not expecting it.
Oh.
And again, that is a source, and I want to credit Adam Schefter for that little report.
Good old there. Adam Schefter.
Right? Exactly. So the Packers, it's one of those things that we were talking about. The Packers might have to seriously consider looking to the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not now, but I think it's going to be bubbling up a little bit. I think they're going to be a little more concerned than they are with it right now. Kind of like, you know, maybe two steps behind where the Giants are in terms of their looking ahead.
It's going to be a very difficult Monday morning for Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, it is. But, hey, you got to move on. And he'll probably find another job somewhere.
Oh, yeah. He'll find an assistant's job somewhere. And it's kind of interesting that now teams aren't waiting for Black Monday.
Mm-mm.
They're doing them right now. This is like the second or third firing of a head coach in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
Hugh Jackson was the first. And now Mike McCarthy.
But I'm just saying, though, Mike McCarthy could be an assistant coach after 13 years as a head coach.
If you want a job. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'll be considered. He might be considered for any. It depends on what jobs come open.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're going to immediately go to him in this situation.
In this situation.
You might need a year to just rehab your image, as it were.
I like that.
Yeah, it might be a job on CBS or, you know.
Yeah,
he could go that route.
He could go that route.
That's what Cowher did. We all thought Cowher would come back.
And Cowher never came back.
No, he's very happy with that. And honestly, that's a good gig.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about a Monday morning quarterback demanding your job after a loss.
Exactly.
You know, and you show. I mean, all you get paid to watch football.
Exactly.
What we do. We get paid to watch football and basketball.
And
we don't have to worry about, you know, the wins and the losses.
Nope.
I mean, we want to see the teams we cover. We want to see them win.
It
makes the season fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always fun when you're winning, no matter where you are, no matter what your level. But, you know, you take all that and it takes a lot of stress out of it, too.
So if you're ESPN right now, are you drafting a contract right now for Mike McCarthy to be over there as soon as 2 weeks?
No.
No.
Let him sit down somewhere. Let him relax. Let him figure out what he's going to do. You know, this is a family decisions too. Because if he goes to ESPN, now he's got to move his family out of Bristol.
Not necessarily.
Stuff.
He could fly in. It depends what they use.
Well,
he can
fly in. Yeah.
And the thing about ESPN is, I don't know of anybody who is a fan of Jason Witten.
Yeah, you know what? I find that to be interesting. Yeah, they are not a fan of him, man.
No, nope. I mean, he has been panned universally. Yeah. So, do you get rid of Witt and put Mike McCarthy as the color commentator for Monday Night Football? And then you don't have to, then he doesn't have to worry about that. He just has to make sure he goes once a week to wherever the game is.
I say this: the only thing that's making Witten stay there and making it work right now is Booker McFarland.
Oh, he's been very good.
He has been very good and been very good at backing up Jason Witten. That's where that has been at,
and
for me at least.
Yeah, and Booker McFarland coming from the SEC, mainly a college football guy. Mm-hmm. SEC does a lot of SEC color commentary analysis on the SEC network. And now they move into the NFL. And he's actually done a pretty good job. And what about Joe Tessitore?
Yeah, just Joe Tessitore, who I was just about to talk about. I love Joe Tessitore. Okay, I think he has a phenomenal voice, but I think that Witten probably has brought him down a little bit.
Right.
And I hate to say that. And, you know, shout out to all my color commentators and all my broadcasters.
All of us.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's kind of a tough ordeal. And it's making Tessitore look like he's worse than what he is. That guy, when he was calling college football games last year.
Oh, he was excellent.
He was excellent. He was absolutely fantastic. But they put him on that Monday night spot because he was the hot hand at ESPN.
Right. And so, also they lost a lot of their...
And they lost a lot of their talent.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of guys retired, really. Like right. Brent Musburger retired last year.
Not exactly.
Like 2 years ago.
Not exactly.
Well, no, I know he's not retired.
Right. He came back to be the voice of the Raiders.
The Raiders. He did. Yeah.
Basically, he's just guiding the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas and kind of giving them a presence in Vegas. And then I think he's only there for 3 seasons, then he'll step aside.
Yeah.
And they'll get a local broadcaster, right, me, to do the game. sorry for that little subliminal job plug right there, but I apologize for that. That's the only reason why they got Brent Musburger. And so far, he's kind of behaved himself.
Yeah.
A little bit. Because
I've heard.
As long as A.J. McCarron doesn't play for the Raiders, he'll be okay.
He'll be all right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Kareem Hunt, we can't.
We have to talk about Kareem Hunt. Very interesting. Fiasco, for those of you who don't know, who have lived under a rock, Kareem Hunt was released by the Kansas City Chiefs this past week after a TMZ released a video of him. I will just say what it was: beating up. It was his wife
Just a female.
Just a random female.
They never said who she was.
Yeah, she was just beating up a female it was a hotel security videotape. Now, this has been launched against Kareem Hunt, and I believe they were investigating. But when that video came out, the defecated material hit the spinning thing that's on a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs automatically released him. And here's my point. If this video blindsided everybody, but did Kansas City know, at least have an inkling of what was going on?
Off the record?
Off the record.
Sure they did. On the record? No.
You don't think so?
On the record? No. That's a billion-dollar organization paying their players millions of dollars. I'm pretty sure they know their routines on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And right. I'm just like with the Ray Rice situation,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore had that information before he hit the fan.
Yeah.
They're like, if you don't tell, we won't tell, at least throughout the season.
I think, is that really the message that we're giving here? You can do what you want as long as there's no video of it.
Yes.
That's what Lawrence Taylor said in an interview. He's all, back in the day, we didn't have social media. If it didn't make the paper on Monday, you were safe.
You were safe. Yeah.
And, you know, they cut up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine they had social media.
Cocaine in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
So imagine they had social media during the Dallas dynasty.
Imagine social media during the 70s with those Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dandy Don Meredith would never have been the Monday Night Football.
Ever.
North Dallas 40. Remember that movie with Nick Nolte and those?
Nick Nolte.
Those guys.
Oh. You know, this, from a standpoint and looking at the person in Kareem Hunt, and I talk about this all the time. Me and my wife actually talk about it, and I told her about it on Friday when the news broke. This is sad because on many accounts, but for one, this was only this guy's second year in the league. Okay, and he came out and he looked like he was going to be a star and a legit superstar at that point. And then this video surfaced out, you know, and it just it just makes him look so bad. Yeah, he and I heard he got on ESPN today. He asked for the interview, I think.
Yeah, I think he said he was gonna he wanted to
sit down and he wanted to, you know, say how sorry he was and all of that stuff. Now, I don't know if apologizing is going to get you there. Look at what Ray Rice had to go through. You know? Well, now, even though Ray Rice's is a lot different, you know, same scenario but different circumstances, I guess.
Well, Ray Rice was advancing his career. I don't think it surprised anybody when he never I mean, he was going to the wrong side of 30.
Right.
And once you hit 30, you're done as an NFL running back.
And this kid was like, what, 24?
Yeah. He's got his whole career ahead of him.
He's got a lot of his career ahead of him. But for your career to be in question at this at such early of an age is my concern.
And guys, let him know that Steve Spurrier is looking for a running back for the Orlando Apollos.
Does he go to the AAFL? Does he go to the XFL?
It's a wrap.
Oh, man, I forgot Vince is coming back with the XFL. I think it's next year, right?
Yeah.
2019.
Ooh. Yeah, and I think the AAFL starts the week after the Super Bowl.
Wow. Yeah. So, he's got about 5 leagues he can go to now.
Canadian Football League as well?
Right. Right.
I don't know if the Canadian Football League will take him. Not, we know how polite those guys are. But
yeah.
And also, here's another question for you. Does Reuben Foster go to the AAFL or the XFL?
You know what? The Reuben Foster situation. Yeah, I think he does. I think he does, too. I tried Reuben. I'm sorry, but I think he does, too. But isn't this just such a sad thing, man?
Yeah, you know, it's just sometimes you just want to make sure some things don't make the paper.
The paper, now the internet.
Yeah,
TMZ. If TMZ's sniffing around, you know you're in trouble.
You know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble, man.
My goodness.
This hurts, man. This hurts. And because he is such a talented player.
It makes you wonder, okay, will... Because, you know... Richie Incognito, after his racial stuff hit the fan back with 2014,
sure,
he found a job with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
So does it come? I mean, let's look at Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger,
who called two rape cases in 3 years at one point in time
in Milledgeville.
In Milledgeville, Georgia, out of all places,
exactly.
And he still has a job. So, Dante Stallworth killed somebody. You know, vehicular homicide.
With his car. Right. Yeah.
His career went on.
It didn't go on auto. Didn't it stop for it? I mean.
It stopped, but it came back. It came back.
Yeah, I think the Patriots signed him afterwards. I think that's what happened.
I mean, Randy Moss hit a police officer. A female one at that. In Minnesota. Mm. He's down the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Though, with Randy Moss, anyway, that was pre-social media. That was pre-Me Too. That was pre-everything.
Everything.
It's a different climate than it was maybe five years ago.
Not even five. We'll say two.
Exactly.
We'll say two. Because, social media, I think 2 years ago, it was a pretty hot bed, but it's not as hot as it is now.
Right.
You know, there's different outlets for social media. 2 years ago,
It's not even social media. I mean, yes, that's a catalyst. That's driving things, but it's getting things out there. It's basically, ever since the Harvey Weinstein, and I know we're going way far afield, but ever since Harvey Weinstein, that whole thing exploded. It's just shot across all strata, all industries, all everything.
The question,
maybe it's about time that it did so.
But we look at Harvey Weinstein; he's not going. Has he went to jail?
He's under indictment.
He's under indictment.
Oh, so you're saying he might go to jail?
He might go to jail. He'll probably find a way around it, but.
Mm-hmm.
But until people do go to jails, we have seen somebody go to jail. Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So, but the interesting thing is, will we see Weinstein? But again, that's a topic for another.
And to our female listeners, we are not insensitive to the plight.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Domestic violence and everything that comes along with that.
We're saying that these guys deserve what has happened to them.
Exactly.
I mean, there is no question of that. But I want to ask this question to you guys: what does this do to Kansas City? Because they are right now the number one seed in the AFC. Does this hurt them in their efforts to get that one seed?
Yes, let's hope. Now, as a Charger fan, you know, I'm not. I mean, from a personal point of view, this is horrible what happened to Kareem Hunt. From a personal point of view, from a team point of view, I am hoping that they do not have a running back situation like they did in Pittsburgh. I'm hoping that their running back situation, they are desolate at running back, and their offense have now just become stagnant, and, you know, they just can't seem to recover after the fact, you know what I'm saying? And we just happen to just roll over these guys and take home field advantage throughout the playoffs potentially, and everything goes along just well for my team. But from a personal point of view, you know, hey, this the Kansas City, I mean, from a professional point of view, the Kansas City Chiefs will be forced to make adjustments. They're going to have to make adjustments.
The Chargers one game back of the West, 8-3. Broncos still technically alive at 6-6. Raiders are an afterthought. Now the Chiefs have to play the Raiders one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm should see who the Chiefs
they play. They should have to play the Chiefs. The Chiefs should have to play the Chargers one more time, right?
And we will roll if providing. Hopefully, that their running backs they are desolate at running back.
Well, they have three home games left: Baltimore, the Chargers, and Oakland. Last week of the year, they visit Seattle on December 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my thing. I agree with you, Leon. I think this does hurt, and it seems. I don't want to say the C word as far as Andy Reid goes, but we know how good of a coach Andy Reid is in the regular season. But it's just, but now this, because this was a great opportunity for Andy Reid to possibly get out of the AFC and get to that Super Bowl and maybe win it. I'm not going to say that, you know, because it's about 3-4, maybe five teams.
The C word is looming.
It's looming, though, because look at what just happened. The guy who leads the league from yards from scrimmage, or leads the AFC, I believe, is Kareem Hunt. And
I know
he's
not
there.
If you're Andy Reid, I mean, the right hand has hit the forehead twice.
Twice. He's going to give himself a concussion because of this. And that's what gets me every single time. It's like, man, this guy can't catch a break. And I love Andy Reid, man. Andy Reid is one of the top five head coaches in football right now.
And he keeps the job for a real good reason.
And he keeps the job for a reason. He knows how to do it. Yeah, he wins. He wins, but when he gets to the playoffs, it stops right there. But this would be one of the reasons why the Kansas City Chiefs now, even though Pat Mahomes is having an MVP caliber season, he's not going to be the MVP of the NFL. I don't think he is. I'm not going to even tell you who's going to be the MVP. I don't even want to say his name.
I think it should go to Mr. Mack out of Chicago based on the turnaround that they've had.
Well, based on that. Yeah,
right.
But they're not going to give it to it. They're not going to give it to a defensive
player.
Yeah. Who was the last one? Lawrence Taylor, I believe.
That was 32 years ago.
Yeah,
something like that.
They're not going to give it to him.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I'm looking at the Chargers schedule. They play at Pittsburgh tonight. Mm. That game with the Chiefs. Yeah, that's on a short week for both teams. That's a Thursday night game.
Oh, that's a Thursday night game.
Now the Chargers play Cincinnati at home before going to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have home games with Baltimore before playing. They got to go to KC and Denver.
So they still play. The Chargers still play KC twice?
Just that one time. It's on a Thursday night. Short rest
so
for
Kansas
both of them.
So Kansas City beat them at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's short rest for both of them.
Wow. Thursday night game.
Yep.
So Joe and Troy get the Thursday nighter, huh?
Yep.
That's actually going to be a good one. But that game may determine the West.
Absolutely.
It may determine the West.
As a Charger fan, we have some really good games coming up. You know, this Baltimore game that we have coming up can have major implications.
Well, tonight's game is going to be
major implications.
Really,
we have big games right now.
And just to make a prediction about tonight and tomorrow night's games, I like the Chargers to knock off the Steelers tonight.
It is December. You know how we perform in December.
You guys perform very well in December, so I like them to win. And I like the Eagle. I like the Redskins actually to roll over the Eagles.
I think that's a good point.
Even though the Redskins are struggling right now with injuries,
right,
with Alex Smith, but we don't see what Colt McCoy can do.
This can be a very good opportunity for Colt.
It could. I didn't even realize the kid was still in the league.
Me neither.
No one did.
But you know, I like them. I like them slightly. The Eagles still is Super Bowl hangover, man. It's just to show we will never. Excuse me. May never see another team repeat. It's so hard to repeat.
How many years since the Patriots are the last team that did it, huh?
The Patriots are the last team that did it, and they did it in 01 and 02.
Through 02. They did a three-peat. They had a three-peat.
And not only that, it's hard for...
No, they went 3 out of 4.
No, remember they beat... Okay, they beat the Rams, which shocked everybody.
They beat the Rams, and then the next year they didn't make the playoffs.
Nah, they beat the Eagles. Remember they beat Donovan McNabb.
That was 2 years later.
For real?
Yeah.
So when they beat the Panthers?
2 years later. That was the following year. They went back-to-back that year. Yeah.
And they didn't make the playoffs the year...
They didn't make the playoffs the year after.
You mean I've been lied to for 20 years?
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, I'll tell you who won the year in between. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right.
They beat Oakland.
With that defense.
With that defense.
And
with
I remember
the best defense ever put out on...
And Jerry Rice was on the Raiders at the time when they did it.
Yes.
And it
was like a slew of Hall of Famers that was on that field.
Right.
Jerry Rice was on there. Rod Woodson played his final years.
With Rich Gannon as the quarterback with the Raiders. Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes my memory fails me at times.
And who was the coach? I want to say it was Bill Callahan, no?
Wasn't Gruden the coach at Tampa Bay?
No, at Oakland.
And he was at Oakland.
Gruden was the coach at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But who was Oakland's head coach? That was, I can't remember who it was.
So, I mean, that's the team that Tony Dungy built.
Yes.
And speaking of, you're saying how hard it is to repeat. It's hard to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Exactly, because that's another stat that we were talking about getting to the playoffs after making the Super Bowl. So
is it because there's so much tape on you?
Oh, that could be, and also everybody gets their everybody like we said earlier, like Notre Dame, everyone gets their best shot.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan. Yeah,
he was their 13th head coach.
Yep. As far as that goes, Leon, it's a lot of things. Yeah, you can say it's tape. Of course, it's a lot of the changes that other teams make versus what you make, and if it's big. And, of course, what has bit the Atlanta Falcons this year is injuries.
Right.
We just got bit bad by the injury book.
Especially on the defense.
Especially on the defensive side. You got Debo, who was out, who missed 10 games. We needed him in that stretch, man. We needed Ricardo Allen. We needed Keanu Neal. When those guys come back and we get the schedule that we're about to get this year, because we're probably going to finish last in our division, which means that we're not going to have really – we're going to get everybody's last place team
right
in the NFC.
So the playoffs can be on the horizon again.
Right.
Question about the Falcons, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important one.
Mm-hmm.
Does Julio get his money at the end of the year?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, unless you're going to – because so many guys around him who they were saying was supposed to get their money. Like Jake Matthews already got his. Ricardo Allen got his, so he's locked up. That's fine. Rumors speculate that Vic Beasley was probably going to be up in line, but Vic Beasley hasn't played up to that year, to that Super Bowl year when he had 15 and a half sacks, right? Grady Jarrett will probably be in line to get some money, but Grady has played okay. He hasn't played like what we thought he would play, you know, but he's played okay. He's played well. He's played well enough. So what he has, because what makes a defensive tackle is his linebacker. Mm. Because the linebacker can put him in position, right?
Right.
So, and vice versa, and some people can say that. But my thing is yeah, I mean, and even in the midst of all this, Matt Ryan leads the league in passing. That was before today's game.
Which is a big part of Julio's presence.
Right.
Even if Julio's not catching the ball, but the sheer presence of the defense adjustments that they have to make because Julio is present.
Julio's the fastest, right, you're right. Julio's the fastest player to 10,000 receiving yards, right?
That's true.
He's either second or third in the league in receiving yards. So
consistently.
So he's doing that every year. Yeah, give him his money, man.
Lock him in.
Lock him in. Lock him in if you know that he's your guy. If he's the go-to guy, lock him in. Lock him in. I don't see why not. And people are saying, oh, man, y'all lock Matt Ryan in. But look, who else you going to get to do this job?
Get Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You can get him.
Who by the way.
He's going to throw you a bunch of yards, but not get you nowhere.
And by the way, who has missed the playoffs again this year?
Yep. Yeah, he has.
again, after receiving, how much did he receive? He got nine figures.
Stafford?
Yeah, he got about good.
He got some good money. Yeah, but you see, that's why Matt Ryan, that's why Arthur Blank had to jump up to get Matt Ryan. It's a money driven league, and we know that.
We know that.
Yeah, we know that.
So with the Falcons now, what do you guys think? And I got a point that I'm going to make in a second, but I can't make it yet. I'm just still doing some quick research. I need to tap dance a little bit. Uh-huh. What do you think the Falcons need to do in the draft?
In the draft, that's a good question, John. They maybe need to draft. That's tough to really say.
Man, the defense.
I think that would beef up. I think I'd beef up on that offensive line, too.
And the defense, too, because you guys are too top heavy on defense.
Yes, we are. Now, depending on, and I'll tell you where we need to go on defense. I think that we go out to the free agency block first. Let's see what's on the free agency block. But we need, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it, Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford, I love you, but you're not getting it done.
Especially in light of this year.
Yeah, you're not getting it done. So if Atlanta's going to do anything this offseason, whether if it's the draft or whether if it's free agency, we need some shutdown cornerbacks. Robert Alford is too fast and too good to be holding every single time. And Desmond Trufant, I don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's because of that shoulder injury. He's still kind of timid or whatnot. But Desmond Trufant is not the same Desmond Trufant from 2-3 years ago. Uh-huh. And he's starting to become a disappointment. And I just think that those two guys, they might need to go somewhere else. For lack of a better term.
Okay, I finished my quick research. Daniel, uh-huh. You mentioned the schedule for next season.
Sure.
Well, because the NFL is so regimented, so regular in terms of schedule, I can give you the Falcons schedule for next season.
Go ahead.
I just don't know the dates.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have, of course, six games with the division, home and home, New Orleans, Carolina, and Tampa.
Yeah, those are possible.
Yep. So, we've got...
So, who in the AFC do we play?
We play the AFC South.
I knew it. Oh, boy.
Road games with Houston and Indianapolis.
I was hoping Houston come here.
They came here the last time we had the South, so of course we got to go there.
Yeah.
And home games with Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Okay.
Now, the divisional alignment is lined up with the West. So home games with the Rams and Seattle at Arizona and San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
And we still have those two games with the other two last place teams.
The North and the South.
The North and the East. East is the Giants right now. Could be Philly, depending on how things go. We don't know. And in the North, it's either the Packers or Detroit.
Wow.
So that is your schedule for 2019.
Yeah, but that's how the NFL structures it. They've been doing that since the merger, I believe.
Well, I don't know if since the merger, but they've done it probably since we've expanded to 32 squads.
Yeah, absolutely. They were doing it back in the 80s. So
yeah, the thing of it is, though, what's different, though, is back and forth between the two. Because usually it was just mattered up of how you ranked in the division.
Yeah.
But now it's regulated in terms of home and away.
Home and away.
So the last time we were matched up with the West, we went to L.A. We went to the other team. We went to Arizona and Seattle came here. Here we went to LA and we went to San Francisco. So now they come here.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't remember. I knew the AFC South was coming.
Right.
Yeah. So actually, it's going to be the South, and then it's going to be the West again the following year. I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then the East, and then the center, the North,
and then the North again.
Yes. That's how the rotation goes.
Yep.
So that's your schedule. Like I said, you're gonna get the champions of that team. You're gonna get Houston, and you're gonna get LA, and you're gonna get the Rams.
Yeah,
but you know, in terms of winnable games, you know, Detroit, Green Bay, New York, definitely winnable. And while we got looking over, we're running out of time. We want to do this quickly, Daniel. Atlanta United, we mentioned this in our introductory comments, Atlanta United hosting Portland for the MLS Cup. Will Atlanta United be victim to the Georgia curse?
Don't make me pick, John. Don't make me pick. I'm going to say no. Okay. I think that for the first time in 23 years, this city gets a championship, and they better embrace it.
Oh, I think they're going to embrace it. If we get a championship, I think we're going to embrace it. I think if it was a championship at Tiddlywinks, we're going to embrace it.
Yeah. But I think the Atlanta United will be. Now, Portland's a tough team. They've been a tough team all year long.
Right.
But I think with Tata's about to get ready to leave, too.
Right. I think he's going to win.
So with them out of the door, and we've got Martinez, man, I don't see us going wrong, man.
But what happens if we do a Georgia/Atlanta Falcons choke job, for lack of a better word? Will the entire city just jump off the roof of Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, they probably will. and here we go with that C word again.
I didn't want to say, but you know, you just gotta.
But what if? Yeah, I thought about it.
You gotta put it out there because Atlanta, like it or not, does have a reputation of taking something and losing it in the craziest/ dumbest way possible.
And it's been that way for the last 3 years now, because we've been in championship positions for 3 years. So for the last two or three seasons, rather. And it's just, this is just tough, man. It's tough, but I think the Atlanta United, this is a different squad. They have been winners. And mind you, folks, this is just their second season of existence. Or third. Is it third?
No, second.
It's second. This is their second season of existence. And they're playing for the MLS Cup. That's cold, man.
That's called setting the tone for the culture.
Exactly.
And not only that, in our first leg of the Eastern Conference Final against New York's NYCFC, mm-hmm. they got out to a 3-0 lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an aggregate back and forth. I don't think this is an aggregate. I think this is one game.
It's one game.
Yeah, it's one game, mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. Only the conference finals are aggregate, meaning goals in two games. But they went out, they took New York completely out of it.
Yeah.
And they had nothing at the left for the return leg up in New York.
Yeah, they only put New York was only able to put up one goal. But yeah, all Atlanta needed was those three goals in that first game. So all they needed to do was play some great defense, and I'm looking forward to it. Man, that might be the game that I end up watching next weekend, man. I might even skip the Heisman presentation. Well, although there's a good 30 for 30 coming on next week. So,
well, yeah, good 30 for 30 just finished on Bob Knight, the last days of Bob Knight. Speaking of not being available during the social media phase, mm-hmm. he would never have been.
Oh, he would have never been.
No, he would have. He was the last of the old school coaches.
Oh, man. They still use his clip of him throwing a chair across the way. He's definitely one.
Right. Well, we're winding down here. Last 60 seconds of our podcast, so it's time for a little roundtable on things that have piqued our interest. And Leon, you'll go first.
Well, I wanted to start. You know, we got a little section. We got validated and verified, and dilapidated and petrified. And I would like to go with the Dallas Cowboys as far as being validated and verified with that huge victory. I mean, we got it. Was that like one of the largest victories of the year?
Against New Orleans last week?
Yeah, yeah. It's possible, simply because of the fact that they may have exposed the Saints.
With so much on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they saw an avenue with Washington losing Alex Smith and having to go to Colt McCoy. I think they saw an avenue that, hey, we can get this division title and get in the playoffs with something other than an 8-8 record. I think Jason Garrett saw a way for him to solidify his coaching position.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, my hats get tipped to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they on to something?
They're hot.
Well,
watch them.
And I think if Dallas doesn't get the division title away from Washington, that might be it for Garrett. Because the door is just wide open for him. He just needs to get his team hot and play well. And I think he's got that division crown. But we'll see if they can carry that over into the playoffs. Daniel.
So I want to bring up something interesting here. We haven't talked about college basketball all year, but there's a team that's running around here, and of course, there's been comparisons to another team that you youngsters probably don't know about. So I don't think Coach K has ever had a team like he has over at Duke with Zion Williamson and Reddish and what's the other boy's name? R.J. Barrett, right?
Right.
Those guys are jumping out of the gym. And I don't think anybody ever thought that that Coach K would have a talent like this. I've heard so many comparisons to the Michigan Fab Five. Now, the Michigan Fab Five was a cultural change for everybody. Nobody had ever seen anybody with the baggy shorts and
the black socks.
And the black socks, right? And with the black shoes on. You know,
calling the timeouts when they didn't have any.
And calling the timeouts when they didn't have any. Chris.
And Jalen Rose getting caught in the crack house.
Yeah, right. So you've never seen anything like this. With Duke, you're always used to the Christian Laettners and the Bobby Hurleys and the Grant Hills and the Jason Williams and Carlos the Shane Battiers. You know, those were the guys. This is going to be very interesting.
Well-grown four-year guys.
Well-grown four-year guys, right. This is something different for Coach K, you know?
Yeah, he's gone all Kentucky on us.
He's went all Kentucky on us. Should he win the national championship? I don't know. I have to get one of my coworkers who used to be a recruiter in the NCAA, Mario Williamson. I plan on getting him on the show one day for us to talk college basketball.
Okay.
He has oftentimes said that Duke is good, but Kansas is better. Okay? So, in other words, you can make a comparison with the Michigan Fab Five and the Duke guys. Michigan Fab Five didn't win a national championship. They got to two, and they got humbled by Duke and North Carolina, right?
Because they tried to call a timeout when they didn't have one.
When they didn't have one. with Duke, are we hoping that happens? No, because I'm a fan of what they're doing. I'm a fan of their athleticism. But at the same time, let's stop the comparisons. There will never be another Michigan Fab Five. All right. Never, ever. They changed the culture and they changed the way we perceive players.
It's safe to say that those three mentioned,
mm-hmm.
they're all gone.
Oh, yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah, and if the Hawks keep playing the way they play, Zion Williamson's going number one.
That's what I was going to ask you about. You think he's going to wind up in Cleveland, though, all the LeBron comparison?
Yeah, he could end up in Cleveland, too.
Oh,
but it
man.
Depends if they take the best player. Which is really Barrett. Barrett, to me, is the best player. But if they take the most athletic, it'll be Zion.
I think they're taking Zion. I think pencil him in as number one, no matter who gets that pick.
Go ahead, John.
All right, well, we weren't here last week, so I'll do what I was going to talk about last week. In the Cayman Islands, there was a little bit of a basketball tournament. You may have seen it. Georgia and Georgia State got into it. And Ron Hunter's been wanting to play Georgia for the longest time. But, you know, surprisingly enough, Georgia wouldn't have any part of them. They have to go to the Cayman Islands to play Georgia. Now, Georgia, now, according to Coach Hunter, I don't have a response from Georgia about this, that when the Bulldogs found that Georgia State was in the tournament, they tried to back out of it. But they were already locked in, but the committee did give them one thing and put them on opposite ends of the bracket. The only way these two teams could meet were in the final. Now, Georgia played first, and then Georgia State played. So Georgia State knew that the only way they could play Georgia in the last round was to mirror what they did. If they win, they have to win. If they lose, they have to lose. And, well, isn't that exactly what happens? Georgia wins their first round game. Georgia State beats St. Bonaventure. Georgia loses to Clemson. Georgia State loses to Creighton. Creighton, a very good team on their end. Now, now a source, whom I will not mention, told me that they were ready to, now again, they already knew after that game was over that they were going to play Georgia.
Sure.
The Georgia State was ready to play Georgia as soon as that game was over. They were ready for them at midnight. If they could get them in the gym at midnight to play them, they wanted to. This is Georgia State's season right now. And what happens? The Bulldogs get run out of the gym by 24 points. Georgia State defeats Georgia in that, and they honestly claim this state. Georgia State men's basketball team has claimed that they are the best college basketball team in the state of Georgia, bar none. Now, Georgia State's had some hiccups since then. They just lost a big game to Liberty last week. And it's just a tough way for Ron Hunter because he's having very hard time scheduling teams. They don't want to come here to play Georgia State. So he's got a very hard way to go. But congrats to Ron Hunter for that statement win against Georgia. And he's got a chance for another statement win this Tuesday, I believe, as they travel to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide. All right, that's the 12th episode. We're sorry that Sam Crenshaw never got on. We'll hope to have Sam on a little later on. I wanted to talk to him about high school football, and since that football matchup got pushed back to Wednesday. We can talk to Sam about the state championships next week, and I really hope we get to do that. So that's going to do it for the last three guys to do a podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Tell a friend, tell a frenemy, tell somebody you never met before. And hey, it's a great icebreaker to talk to that girl you've been wanting to speak to in the lunchroom this whole time, but just haven't found a way to talk. You can talk to her about our podcast. We would greatly appreciate it. For
Leon Brown.
And
hey, good job, Leon. Next new segment next week, Daniel Bolton.
I'm John Morgo. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be with you next week. We are the last three guys to do a podcast.
Yes, sir.